Acts chapter 17, I'd like to call your attention to a couple verses. Paul is talking to the Athenians, and according to the version that Bill read, said, "Goodness, you're superstitious." Right? Well, the version I'm reading, beginning in verse 25, after he talks about being very religious, verse 22, he says, verse 24, I go back up. He says, verse 23, "For I have passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I also found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you." Now notice here in verse 24. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and of earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, and he has made from one man of every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their boundaries and their periods and their times." That is the God that we should seek. That is the God that he wanted to make known unto them. So this morning I'd like for you to consider that God. As we look at the 103rd Psalm, "Bless the Lord." This Psalm which David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless the Lord." That is been kind of a confusing thing for me. Turn to me with me to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 7. Here in this passage, the Hebrew writer is talking about Melchizedek and the events with Abraham. And after the battle of the 14 kings, right? After the battle of the kings, Abraham is leading the battle, and as he does so, he runs across Melchizedek, the priest of God, and Melchizedek, what? Blesses Abraham. And Abraham gives him a tithe. Well, the Hebrew writer says in verse 7, "It is beyond dispute the inferior is blessed by the superior." Make sense? Are you better than God? Are you superior to God? Well, of course not. So, let's think about this a little bit. What does it mean to bless the Lord? Well, the word blessed is used in three different instances. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 18, God said, He blessed all creatures that he created. And he told them what? "Now go ye and multiply and cover the face of the earth." God did the blessing. Okay. There's another instance of blessing. And that is what we were talking about here in Genesis chapter 14. Where Melchizedek, the priest of God, blessed Abraham. Man blessed man with divine occurrence or with divine approval. Why was it that Balaam couldn't curse the children of God? He didn't have the authority, did he? He didn't have God's permission. And so every time he opened his mouth to curse the children of Israel, what happened? Blessings came out. So man can bless man with divine approval. There's a third instance. And I think this is what we're talking about here in Psalm 103. It is man's adoration of God. What does that mean, man's adoration of God? Well, you know, as a young man, when there was an object of my adoration, what did I do? Sticks and stones may break. No. Run away from her? No. I tried to find out as much as I could about her. I tried to, well, we're not going to do that, right? No. That wasn't the frame of mind of my thinking. Instead, it was, what do you want? Let me see how I can please you. How can I show you my adoration for you? You like roses? Maybe you'll settle for daisies. Does that sound right? Doesn't quite sound like adoration, does it? But I think that's what we have here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Body, soul. What was it that Jesus said is the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. There's nothing holding back. I adore God. Bless His name. There are no clouds on the horizon, no notes of sadness in the music of this psalm. This is what has been said about this psalm. We sing the song, Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Right? What are we saying when we say that? We worship and what? And adore. So I think that is what David is talking about here in the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Get my tongue behind my teeth. Bless His holy name. That name, it's His essence. He has identified, He has explained who He is by His name. El Shaddai. Elohim. On and on. He has given us His character of who He is through His name. The first of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not have any other God before me. What is the second? Did I get the right one? Thou shalt not take my name in vain. What is he saying there? That's God's essence. That is who he is. It is how he has described himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfastness or steadfast love and mercy. You know, the most, what can you say? The most despicable person is an ingrate. Is that a true statement? Somebody that is ungrateful, the ingrate, really, person we want to stay away from. But David here is saying, forget not all of the benefits, all of his benefits. We read on Wednesday night about King Hezekiah. What was the charge that God laid at his feet? I believe that was in 2 Chronicles. Oh. chapter 32, verse 25, Hezekiah did not return according to the benefit given to him. He was so proud that he would not return to God. Well, David is saying, don't forget. Don't forget the benefit that God has given you. The memory. How is it that we can remember going to school uphill both ways and 2 foot of snow, but, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes our memory is, what's the best word to say? Shaded? Sometimes we remember what we want to remember. Sometimes we remember just the good. And sometimes we just kind of never get out of the pit. David says, remember what God has given you. Remember the benefits that He has given you. He has given you forgiveness of your iniquity. All of those idols that Paul saw in Athens, what could they do? Nothing at all. People would attempt to appease them, but they could not do anything. God does the one thing that nobody else can do, and that is He removes our iniquities. He forgives our iniquities. He heals our diseases, both of the body, the soul, and the spirit. He redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. Bless the Lord. Who satisfies you with the good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? That's an interesting thought. Many commentators, when they talk about here, see these words in verse 5 of David, talk about, and I don't understand it. Maybe someone else can point out to us a little bit better, about the molting of birds. That the eagles were supposed to be different. I don't understand that. But I do know that eagles are unique birds. When a storm comes, they do not hide in their den. When a storm arises, they do not stay in their nest. I'm told that when a storm comes upon an eagle, it goes to the highest point it can, and it allows the wind to carry them above and through the storm. Well, maybe that's part, whether it's the molting of the wings of the feathers so that it is renewed, or whether it is the satisfaction of being up and above and beyond the storms, so the storms cannot affect us. David says, bless the Lord, because He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed. The thought that Jesus gave to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 was, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you are born again. Unless you are renewed. Isn't it interesting that Paul, when he wrote to the Romans in chapter 6, he talks about a renewal. He talks about a what? A new birth. As you are buried with Him, you are raised with Him to walk in what? Newness of life. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Benefits? Well, there are many. He forgives us our iniquities. He heals our diseases. He redeems us from the pit. Pardon me. Whether we're talking about the pit that we find ourselves in, whether it be like Joseph, of our not our own doings, or whether the pit of, like Daniel. So he redeems us from the pit. But look what he does. God did not pull us out of the pit and put us on the brink. Did I say it wrong? He did not pull us out of the pit to leave us sitting on the sidelines. He pulled us out of the pit and he crowned us with his love and mercy that never wavers. Blessed be the Lord. He satisfies you with good. You know, there's a difference between being filled up and being satisfied. Isn't it? In a few minutes, or in a little bit, we're going to be having lunch. And most of us are going to get filled up. And I don't know what all is down there. But if it's all broccoli, it may fill me up, but am I going to be satisfied? Cheryl says yes. Tom, if the only thing that's down there is sauerkraut, are you going to be satisfied? Okay. I want to make sure that there's a distinction made between satisfying and being satiated. We can be full, but are we satisfied? You know, we can fill our schedules with things. We can fill our schedules with activities, but does that always satisfy? The busier you are, the more of a hamster you get to be. Is that the way it goes? The more that you got going, the more you're just running in that wheel. Kevin, we're going to get our 10,000 steps. But are you going to be satisfied? God satisfies us, is what David wants us to remember. We already talked about renewal. Verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice to all who are oppressed. This isn't only just directed toward us, between those who are God's people, but toward everyone. Everyone. God works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Verse 6. Verse 7. He has made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. How did God make known his ways to Moses? Well, it was the providence of God that he experienced as a baby. When Pharaoh had demanded that all boy Jews be killed, he was rescued. He learned the ways of God even through living in the life of luxury in the household of Pharaoh. He learned the ways of God while tending sheep. While speaking with God on the mount and in leading God's people. Surely through all of that, God has made known his ways to Moses and he showed his acts to the people of Israel. Can you make water come from a rock? God can. God did. Can you divide the waters so that the land underneath is dry to allow people to walk through? God did. Isn't that something that the people can see? His acts to the people of Israel were made known. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and he is gracious. He is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He does not always chide. He does not always, what's the word? The New American uses a different word. He does not always strive with us. He does not always discipline us. But, oh, what a thought that is. He doesn't always beat us senseless. What is the picture there in Hebrews chapter 12, talking about a father and discipline? Is it fun? No, never fun. Mom used to always say when she disciplined us kids, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. I really didn't always believe her. But what is the admonition in Ephesians chapter 6 as Paul calls on fathers? Do not provoke your children to wrath. There is an element of discipline that is necessary and not going beyond it. God knows those limits. And he does not... Oops, did I get switched? Ah, there it is. There it is. Okay, I'll write that. I'm sorry. Verse 8 and verse 9. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in his steadfast love. He does not always discipline us, nor does he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins. And this is the one thing that to me, this jumps out to me. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the Lord for not dealing with Jack for all the things that he does wrong. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. But it's not just to Jack. It's not just the promise to him, but to all of us. He is willing to forgive. He is willing to... Pardon me. Seasons changing has taken its toll. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Why? Because the next verse, verse 11 says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love. Can you measure the love of God? No. The only even possible measuring rod we have is the sacrifice of his son. What is the love of God? That is a song that we sing quite often. For the love of God is shed, priceless blood. Right? Measure the love of God. It is as high as the heavens are above the earth. So great is his steadfast love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from west, does he remove our transgressions from us? What does he hold back? You know, as we work with people, as we teach people, and even as Peter was talking to Jesus about forgiveness, we say, we'll forgive you, but there's no buts with God. He separates the sins, our sins, from us as far as east to west. Where do they meet? There is no intersection. There is a line, Daryl, going out that way as far as you can make it and farther. And Bill, the same, another line is going out that same direction. They're not going to meet. That's how far God has separated our iniquities from us. As a father shows his compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion for those who fear him. And what father among you, when his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Now, you knowing how to do good, you understand what good is. God is better. God is better. For those who fear him, Verse 14. For he knows our frame. He knows us. He knows our inward thoughts. He knows that we are dust because he made us from dust. For man, like his days, are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field and a wind. And a wind passes over it. As I was studying this passage, the thought came to me that there are several different things that are applications of the wind. There is that strong northeasterner that comes from the, you know, in the Mideast. How about the Mid-Atlantic? That cold wind that comes and just drives everything away. There is that Santa Ana wind from the south and from the west that comes and has its impact upon us. The wind. We don't just kill with knives, bullets, spears, but we can kill with what's in the wind, can't we? It was mustard gas, something that they laid on the ground? No. They found that during World War I that which was in the air could be just as effective in dealing with the enemy as bullets. God is saying here, man flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone. What is he saying? He's saying that man's life is fragile. It's here for a moment and it's gone. Jesus talked in Matthew chapter 6 when he said about the Solomon and all of his glory never was arrayed like one of the birds. What did he say about that? He said, like grass is here today, gathered up and thrown in the furnace tomorrow. We know it is gone, and its place knows it no more. Bless the Lord. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting. Man is temporary. Man is just a momentary glimpse of time. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, those who, what? Honor Him, those who love Him, those who reverence Him, and His righteousness to the children's children. To all who keep His covenant. And remember we talked a few moments ago about memory. And remember to do His commandments. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens. Nobody can usurp Him. Nobody can throw Him off of His throne. And His kingdom rules over all. No exceptions. Bless the Lord. All you His angels. All the mighty ones who do His word. Obeying the voice of God. Who was it that announced the birth of the Messiah? It was the angels. God's command. They spoke. The angels who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The angels. You mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of His word. Blessed be the Lord. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all the places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord just doesn't cut it. Sorry. Bless the Lord, David said. Adoration. It is that which not only shows us, it is that motivation that we are followers of God. Bless the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be adored. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. Well, this morning we want to end with a conclusion. And that conclusion is, do you adore the Lord? Do you bless the Lord? He, as David points out, is worthy of adoration, of worthy of worship, and worthy of obedience. Is there anything that's preventing us from blessing Him, the Lord? Well, if there is this morning, we want to draw our attention to the song that we're about to sing. Because without the Lord, we're nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. With Him, we can be a blessing to Him. If you have anything that you'd like to make known, or if you would like to be united with the Lord in baptism, to be able to be a blessing to Him as He is to us, come make your needs known by coming to the one of the, down to the front pews as we stand and sing the song that Denny will now lead.